let this ship be.
Thank God for the lighthouse. I wonder how many a sailor, of course not in our day and time, now they have sonar and GPS and all that stuff, but back in the old days, they were warned from danger by a lighthouse. And that lighthouse had a keeper. The keeper of the lighthouse, his job was to keep the fire burning, so that the sailors could be warned from the rocks that would cause their boat to sink. Thank God we still have a lighthouse. And I'm glad God's given us the job of keeping the fire burning. Whew, thank the Lord for the lighthouse that shined in the darkness of our midnight and our sin. Would you take your Bible and turn with me to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. I told Brother Charles this morning, I said, I can't believe it, but I have yet another message from Mark chapter number 4. I thought that just proves to you this Bible is inexhaustible. And I thought I'd preached everything that could be preached from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 down through the rest of the chapter. So I'm going to start reading the scripture, and I thought as soon as I start reading, somebody's going to say, oh, I've heard him preach this two or three times. And I promise you have not. This is something brand new. But I have preached from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 on quite a few occasions. And I preached that message about a boat ride with Jesus from this passage. I preached that message about the master of the sea from this passage. I preached that message on faith from this passage. But it just seemed like the Bible, every time you read it, there's something brand new and something fresh. But if you're in Mark chapter number 4, say amen.
Amen.
Won't you look with me at verse number 35. The Bible said, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And the Bible said, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now, say it with me, full. I'm not going to preach from right there, but I want you to look up here for just a minute. The ship was what?
Full.
Somebody help me. The ship was what?
Full.
How many of you have ever made the statement, I've had it up to here? Now, I want you to think with me just for a second. The problem was not the vessel in the sea, Brother Freddie. That vessel was made for the water. The shipmaker, the boat builder, when he sat down with his hammer and the wood and the caulking to make that thing waterproof, he designed that thing to be in the water. Y'all stay with me, we're going somewhere. The problem was not the vessel in the water. In our story, the problem was the water in the vessel. Some of y'all looking at me goofy. Let me say it again. The problem wasn't the vessel in the water. That's where it was made to be. The problem was the water in the vessel. Our problem in church is not us being in the world. The problem in church is the world being in us. We can be in the world and not be of the world. A dear black preacher friend of mine once said it this way. He said, you can swim in the ocean, but you ain't got to be no fish. I thought that was pretty good. So let me say it again. The trouble in the story is not the vessel in the water. It's the water in the vessel. Some of us have a lot of problems this morning, and it's because we got too much water in the vessel. Amen. I just thought I'd point that out. It ain't got nothing to do with the message. I just never thought about it before. Just thought I'd throw that in there this morning. Amen. Verse 38. The Bible said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How many of you prayed like that? God, do you even care where I am? Have you ever prayed this way? God, do you even know where I am? Do you understand what I'm going through? Where are you? They're no different than we are. They get in the middle of the mess and they can't see the master. All they see is the mess. And they think somehow because of the situation they're in, God no longer cares. Amen. Wrong. He does. Amen. The Bible said in verse 39, he didn't even answer them, did he? They said, carest thou not that we perish? He didn't say a word. Amen. He just rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to back up and read one verse, and this is where I'm going to take the thought from this morning. In verse 38, the Bible said, and he, talking about Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I got to looking at this the other day, and I never really thought much about it, and I was reading that verse, and all of a sudden my mind began to flood with the thoughts and memories of all the commercials on TV. It seems like every other commercial is about a new mattress. Guaranteed to give you a better night's sleep. They got a memory foam. They got a memory foam that reclines. They got a Sleep Number. They got a Serta. They got a Sealy. I mean, you just go on and on and on. Everything designed to help you sleep better. You get tired enough, you can sleep on that floor. Am I right about it? Brother Charles can sleep driving down the road. He's getting better, he said. I'm talking about a man who can sleep anywhere during a conversation. If he quits talking, look, he's asleep. Amen. Sleep at Tommy Man. Sleep sitting straight up in a chair, just gone. He can sleep anywhere. That's a clean conscience right there. Everybody trying to... Every other commercial is about a mattress or a pill. A pill to help you sleep. Well, they've had them forever. They used to come in liquid form. Y'all all right? Something to help you. Everybody's trying to get a night's rest. I seen that thing on television about that one woman. She is taking them pills to help you sleep. Somebody tell me what that's called. Ambien? Is that it? I got to be careful naming them drugs. The last time I did that, I got a little sideways. Name it. Some of y'all remember, don't you? Let's move right along. One woman was taking them sleeping pills, and all of a sudden, all this stuff started being delivered to her house. And she said, I didn't order this. She was getting up in the middle of the night in her sleep and ordering stuff off the TV. What do you call it? Shopping? QVC. I mean, I'm talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. And she is doing this in her sleep. I don't need none of them pills. I can spend plenty of money wide awake. All you got to do is take me to Tractor Supply or Horsetown. I can come home broke. Amen. I also noticed so many commercials, and there's a little jingle stuck in my head, I can't even get past it, about all these different pillows. My wife and I went shopping a while back and we needed new pillows. And we started, look, you know how many hundreds of kinds of pillows they got? He's a pillow for everything. One of them stays cold. So they said, you know, that ruins my phrase, cooler than the backside of a pillar, amen? It stays cool. They got hard pillows, they got soft pillows, they got big pillows, they got little pillows, they got every kind of pillow in the world. Every one of them promising one thing, a better rest. A better rest. Let me tell you something. Look at me real good. You can't buy rest. You start carrying the guilt and the trouble of this life, you couldn't rest on a cloud, friend. Are you listening? But I noticed something in this text, Brother Charles, that had never really jumped out at me before. The Bible said, in the middle of this storm, the boat is now, say it with me,
full.
The disciples are frantic. They're toiling, they're rowing, they're bailing, they're doing everything they possibly know to do, but yet the ship or the boat is getting fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller. Where's Jesus? Talk to me, where's Jesus?
Asleep.
On a pillow. Now, this ain't the love boat they're traveling in. This ain't a cruise ship. This ain't Carnival or Royal Caribbean. It's a fishing boat. And the best I could figure studying that thing out, Brother Freddie, this building is 32 foot wide. Is that right? 35 feet wide. That boat was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of the length of this building. It was a wooden hull. That's all it was. It was nothing built for comfort. It did not come from Ranger with pillows in it. I doubt it was a Ranger. But I doubt it came with a pillow. Jesus is in the hinder part of this working vessel asleep on a pillow. Where do you get a pillow? I mean, it's just my country way of thinking. Man, you're in a fishing boat. Where do you get a pillow? And then another question come to my mind. Why'd he bring one?
Amen.
Now, y'all just stay with me for a second. It is somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 miles shore to shore across that Gadarene Sea. Jesus brings a pillow. Why did he bring a pillow for a 4-mile trip? I asked you a question this morning. Have you ever just been tired? You go to bed tired. You wake up tired. In the middle of the day, you're tired. Somebody help me right there. I just came off of 4 weeks straight of traveling. Hallelujah, I'm home for a couple of weeks and thinking about canceling every meeting for the rest of my life. I'm sick of hotels. Sick of airplanes. Sick of being stuck in an airport. I'm sick of it. Tired. Sick and tired. Ain't that the phrase, ain't it? You ever just get tired and just thought, if I could just rest. If I could just rest. I started thinking about Jesus brought a pillow. Y'all try that at work tomorrow. Just go in with you. My pillow up under your arm. Y'all seen that? MyPillow.com. For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world. Ain't that how it goes? Stick to preaching, Brother Freddie said. Go in with your pillow stuck up under your arm. And when they ask you, what are you doing with a pillow? You're at work. Why did you bring a pillow to work? Answer this. I may need to rest.
Amen.
Amen. I may. Hey, listen. I'm talking somebody needs some rest this morning. And I'm not just talking about a nap. And I'm not just talking about a good night's sleep, but I'm talking about some rest from the toiling and the rowing. Now, Jesus brings a pillow on this boat. Why did he bring it? Where did that pillow come from? I don't think I can figure it. He brought it with him. Now, here's my thought. Wherever you find Jesus. Listen, when you see a pillow, what do you think of? The older, and if you're little, you think about hitting somebody with it. But when you get my age, pillow constitutes nap. I remember how bad I hated them when I was a kid and how much I love them now.
Hey man, I can't wait till I get home today. You know, I'm going to take a nap. Do not call me. People kill me, call me on Sunday afternoon. What are you doing? You know what I'm doing. You call me on purpose. Sunday afternoon is nap time. Amen. I see a pillow, I think rest. Here's what I thought, and I'll get to this message and we'll move on. I think, Brother Charles, wherever you find Jesus, wherever you find him, whether it's in a boat, in a storm, on the job, in a rocky relationship, in a marriage that's about to fly to pieces, in the midst of financial difficulty, in the middle of a health crisis, wherever you find Jesus, you will find rest. I believe he represents rest from our trouble. In our story, did the disciples find rest? Sure they did. Where did they find it? It wasn't in toiling. It wasn't in rowing. It wasn't in bailing. It was going to where the pillow was and waking up the man whose head was on the pillow. They went to Jesus and they found rest. It wasn't in appeal. It wasn't in Lunesta. I got that one right, didn't I? It wasn't in a bottle. It wasn't in a joint. Y'all okay? It was in somebody. Matter of fact, here's what Jesus said. I want proof to you. I'm going to back up Scripture with Scripture. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and ye shall find, anybody know the next word? Rest unto your soul. Come to me and you'll find rest. But we're looking everywhere in this world and we're trying to find some peace and some rest. Oh, we need a vacation. You'll come home from vacation tired than you was before you left. We go into Disney World in September with 5 grandkids. I'm going to work out for the entire month of August just to get ready for it. Y'all think I'm joking? I really am. Take a pillow, somebody said. Amen. I'm on exercise. I'm on jog. I'm on walk. I'm on ride my bicycle and get ready to walk for 5 days solid. I'll be tireder when we get home than I was before I left. Them 5 grandkids wear me out at the house. And that's without Goofy or Donald or Mickey Mouse. I can't imagine throwing all that in the mix. People think, oh, we just got to have vacation. We got to get away from everything. It's there when you get home. Can I tell you something this morning? You can find perfect rest right here, right now, in the middle of whatever it is. You can't run away from it. If you packed up everything you moved 1,000 miles away, it finds you. Y'all listening? It'll find you. I believe wherever Jesus is, rest is near. Now, I want to talk to you this morning just for a few minutes. I'll try to run through this. I want to preach to you this morning about pillows in the storm. Pillows in the storm. How many of you are in a storm? Be honest. That's a good many. How many of you been in one? If there was not any hands raised in either question, then you're about to go into one. That's life. Life is a series of struggles and troubles, and then you die. Amen. But I'm glad for the child of God, there is a pillow or a rest that we can find even in the midst of trial and trouble and tribulation. Can I give them to you right quick? Right here from our story, look with me at verse number 35. Verse number 35, right off the bat, the Bible said, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, say the next two words with me, let us pass over where? Unto the other side. I want you to notice, first of all, in the storm they're about to go into, they have a pillow of promise. They have a pillow of promise. What did Jesus say? Let us pass over what? To the other side. in the middle of the storm with the boat full, if Jesus said we're going over, thanks be unto God, we are going over. You can count on it. He didn't say let us die in the middle. He didn't say let us shipwreck. Do you think he knew the storm was coming? I think he ordered it and went to sleep. Amen. Are we okay this morning? He said we're going to pass over the other side. You know what that is? That's a promise. You and I have some promises too. Now listen, he did not say, Brother Freddie, look here boys, y'all get in the boat and we're going to pass over the other side, but you're going to think we're going to die before we get there. He didn't say that. He didn't say you're about to experience the worst storm of your life. Y'all want to go? He didn't go to his disciples and say, hey guys, we are about to sail into the most dangerous waters any of us have ever known. Who's in? I can imagine Peter spouting off right quick. Yon, yon. I ain't going. Y'all okay? I've heard people say, man, I had it easier before I got saved. You're lying. You're lying. You didn't have it easier before you got saved. You still had trouble, and you had to go through those troubles by yourself. You had no promise of a brighter day. Every trial, every struggle seemed like the end. But these guys has got a promise. Now listen, if God had come to me, we were on that bus route this morning. We went down Friendship Church Road, and Sister Angie said, show Clint and Don, or Clint where Levi wrecked. And we went right in that curve where Levi wrecked, Brother Freddie, when he was 16 years old. I knew the exact spot. I remember when God called me into the ministry. If he'd have said, your son's going to nearly die. If he said, you're going to bury a grandchild. You're going to go through this. You're going to go through that. But he didn't tell me none of that. But he did promise me, get in the boat with me and we're going to the other side. If you'll just get in the boat with me, heaven is at the other side. Amen. 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 Heaven, Kyla said it best. She said, heaven will take care of it all. Amen. Thank God we have a pillow of promise. It may be dark and it may be stormy, but I'm glad I can lay my head on my pillow and say one of these days I'm going to heaven when I die. And that'll fix everything. Do you have that pillow of promise this morning? Are you going to heaven when you die? Amen. You say, can I really know? You can really know. You can know that before you leave here today. You can come to the altar while I'm preaching. Somebody help you get that thing settled. I'm glad 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4 is in the Bible. The Bible said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I like that word exceeding. That word exceeding, Brother Todd, it implies above and beyond. The Bible said he's able to supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I got promise after promise. Go to the Christian bookstore. Pick you up one of them little God's promise books. Get the King James Version, by the way. You don't want none of them promises distorted. Amen. I like to take God at his word. Go pick you up one of them. Look how many promises God's made you. I take that stuff personal. I believe I might have been, if I might have been one of them disciples, I don't know, I might have jumped over. But I believe somebody ought to woke Jesus up and say, hey, you said we was going to the other side. It ain't looking like it right now. How many of you have been there? You know heaven's at the end, but it ain't looking like it right now. I'm going to heaven when I die, but it feels like H-E double on earth. Can I get a witness? It's mighty dark. It's mighty gloomy. It's mighty stormy. Listen, put your head on the pillow of promise. The sun's coming up in the morning. Weeping, the Bible said, may endure for the night, but the sun's coming up in the morning. Thank God our trials and our troubles are temporary. Look how long their storm lasted. 1, 2 verses.
Two. No sooner did they wake him up than their storm was over. Guess where they went? To the other side. There they met the maniac of Gadara, and Jesus cast the devils out, and they found the man clothed in his right mind. Oh, no, no. What they thought was killing them just increased their faith. Amen. They trusted Jesus more because of the storm than they did before the storm. We have a pillow of promise. Now I want you to notice this. Not only do we have the pillow of His promise, but we have the pillow of His people. The pillow of His people. Look with me at verse number 36. The Bible said, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. Now watch this. And there were also with them other little ships. There were also with Him other little ships. Now stay with me. I'm going to give you these right quick. Listen, let me just say this. I'm glad we're not alone. You know what the devil will do? The devil will come to you in the middle of your deepest, darkest hour. He'll curl up in the bed beside you and say, ain't nobody ever been through what you're going through. Ain't nobody ever had it like this. Why come ain't nobody called you? They don't care about you. Where's all your friends now? The devil will convince you that you're in the middle of the storm all by yourself. But you know what? Thank God you're never alone. Thank God you're never alone. I promise you in this room right now, we can look around and I can show you somebody that's in the same storm you're in. You're not by yourself. I'm glad when my heart's broke and my heart's heavy, I don't have to do that all by myself. I can come over here and say, Brother Tommy, man, I need friends. I got somebody that loves me. I got people that pray with me. And I got people that help me carry my load.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't know which disciple woke him up, but I guarantee you they all felt they was in the same predicament. I don't know about them other little ships or who was in them, but they was all in that storm. Together.
Amen.
They all experienced the same waves. They all experienced the same wind. Every one of them had a boat full of water, but listen, they experienced the same end.
Amen, preacher.
I went up Brother Warren's Sunday school class this morning. I seen Ashley sitting there. I grabbed her and about squeezed her head off. Amen. I wasn't in Philadelphia, but I seen the picture of her little old head swelled up like a toad frog, having allergic reactions. I spent day after day after day in prayer. You know what I did? I went through that storm with her. It didn't have the effect on me that it had on her. But once I seen her come out on the other side of that storm, hey, I helped her bail some water. Amen. I was on her side. Amen. Man, when she come through that storm, I'm able to say, hallelujah. We made it through. Glory to God. I guarantee you it wasn't just the disciples in the big boat. But I promise you them disciples in them little ships was shouting too. Amen. That's why all these years later we still shout that Ashley's cancer free. I got a feeling here for long we're going to shout over little Sophia in Michigan again.
Amen.
Michigan. Amen. They wasn't in a storm by themselves. And you're not by yourself. I don't know how many people sat down in my office and said, you just don't understand. And I don't always. And I'm not making light of anybody's trouble. But I guarantee you there's somebody who does understand and somebody who does know and there's somebody who's already been through what you're going through. And live to tell about it. Well, well. Let me move on. Verse 35. Verse 35 again. Look at the red part, if you've got red. The latter part of that verse. You know what he said? Let us pass over on the other side. Let us. He didn't say let y'all. We have the pillow of his promise. Are you listening?
We have the pillow of His people. I'm glad we can. I know it's carnal, but I love that old song, "Lean on Me When You're Not Strong." Y'all remember that? Lean on me. I'm glad we can lean on one another. I'm glad, Brother Freddie. I can say, "Brother Freddie, how you doing?" And he can say, "I'm struggling." And I don't go, "Why, you sorry? You just need to get right with God." No, I don't do that. We lean on each other. Amen. And it's okay. We don't think less of each other. If I'm going through it and I'm having a hard time, he don't think, "Well, boy, the preacher's backslid." Amen, brother. We pray for each other. And we support one another. And we hold one another up. Yes, amen. Amen. I'm glad we can lean on one another. There's been a few times I've done more than lean. They've had to tote me. Amen. We have the pillow of His promise, the pillow of His people. But in verse number 35, that little phrase, "let us," we've got the pillow of His presence. The pillow of His presence. Let me just remind you, He was in the boat. When He invited you in His boat at salvation, He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Hey, we can find a pattern. We can find a pattern in the Bible. One of the first boats we see in the Bible was a boat we all know as the Ark. They're building one in Kentucky. A guy's building a replica of the, I want to go see that thing. I really do. I want to go check it out. He's building a replica. That's the first boat we read of. Did you know nobody got in that boat till they was invited? Are y'all okay? Y'all wake up. What'd y'all do last night? Y'all look about half dead. Let me say it again. They didn't get in that boat or in that ark, Brother Chris, till they got invited. Before Noah and his family got in the boat, there's somebody in there already. There was a voice come out of that ark and it said, "Come thou into the ark." You know who it was? It was God. And they got in the ark, and guess who shut the door? God did. You know what that meant? He was in there.
Amen.
You go throughout Bible history, you'll find His children in the deepest, darkest storms of their life found He was in there too. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There's a fourth man in there, the king said, and he looked like a son of God.
Amen, preacher. Amen, brother.
Amen. Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, we could go on and on and on and on. Thank God for the power of His presence. I'm glad Hebrews 13:5 is still in the Bible. Where He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee."
Amen.
Thank God I don't care where I am, how bad it is. Hey, because I'm a child of God and because I'm saved, He is still in my boat.
Amen.
Or I'm in His.
Amen.
Amen. As the Titanic set sail, the headlines read, "The Titanic. The ship that God Himself cannot sink." I believe that's why she's laying today in the depths of the ocean. I'm not riding in a ship that God can't sink. I'm riding in a ship that is God.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. I have the pillow of His promise, the pillow of His people, the pillow of His presence. Let me just give you these last two right quick. Verse number 38. Where was Jesus? Never thought about this before, Brother Charles. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. I said we had the power of His promise and His people and His presence. But listen, we have the pillow of His power. I got to think about this real hard. He was in the hinder part of the ship. That mean anything to anybody? That's where the controls are. That's where the rudder is. That's where the captain is at. Somebody ought to get happy right quick. I said he was in the hinder part of the ship. Somebody said, oh, but preacher, he was asleep. Yeah, the God, the man God was asleep. But the God man was wide awake. The Bible said he never sleeps and he never slumbers. What are you saying? I'm saying he was in control before the first lightning flash. He was in control before the first gust of wind. He was at the helm the entire time. And if you're a child of God, let me tell you something. He's in control. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, it may have seemed like he wasn't interested. It may have seemed like he didn't care. But things are not always what they seem. Sister Janice, I don't know where she went. She may have went out to beat a grandkid. I don't know. There she is. Sister Janice and them, they used to sing a song. I'm trying to remember exactly. In my darkest hour, my darkest valley, I found a rose. I found him blooming. I don't remember how them words go, but it's talking about, buddy, when I didn't know he was there, right in the middle of my midnight, right in the middle of my storm, right in the middle of my valley, there he was, and there he'll be, and he's in your storm, and he's in control this morning. What you got to do is take your hands off. What's that song that woman sung, Jesus Take the Wheel? Wouldn't have been wrecking if he had had it to begin with. That's my philosophy. But what we got to do in the middle of our storms is just say, hey, Master, I know you're in control. They said, Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? Hey, they had the presence or the pillow of his power. Listen, if he's in the boat, if he's in the boat, he's in control. And if you're going through a storm, it may be just like those disciples. He may have you there. You say, well, doesn't he love me? Oh, he loves you with all his heart. He loved you so much that he died for you. But he may be allowing you to go through a storm so that you'll love him and trust him even more than you did before. We have the pillow of his promise. The pillow of his people, the pillow of his presence, the pillow of his power. And I'm done. The Bible said he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Remember what kind of storm it was? The Bible said it was a great storm. Great storm. We don't get a lot of those in life, but we do get them. I'm glad even in the midst of a great storm, we can experience and know because of whose boat we're in. We can experience a great calm. You know what that is? We sang it this morning. Horatio Spofford in the 1800s was moving his family from London to Europe. He had, several years earlier, he had a son and four daughters, had five children. I forget exactly what it was from, but his little boy had died. He was a lawyer and owned a firm. He packed up his wife and his four girls and put them on a ship and sent them across the ocean to Europe. He had to settle some business with his law office and he was going to come behind. They got in the middle of the sea and their ship ran into another ship and sank. All four girls were lost. Horatio Spofford received a telegram, and this is what it said. Saved alone. What shall I do? It was a telegram from his wife, Mrs. Spofford. Saved alone. What shall I do? They found her floating on a piece of driftwood. Immediately, Spofford got on a boat, took the next ship out, headed to Europe. The captain called him to his quarters and said, Mr. Spofford, I just wanted you to know we are stopping to pause right here for a moment. This is where you lost your family. This is where the ship sank. And the story said he went to his cabin and he penned these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. You ever wonder what that song means? It means in the deepest, darkest storm, in the worst trial and the worst tragedy of life, there's a pillow for the child of God. There's a pillow of promise. There's a pillow of His people, the pillow of His presence, the pillow of His power. And lastly, this is what Mr. Spofford was talking about. We can find a pillow of His peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Thank God for that. You've got to know Christ to know that peace.
Amen.
We've experienced it in the doctor's offices. We've experienced it in the funeral homes, in the ICU waiting rooms. We've experienced on the side of the road at the scene of a tragic accident. We've experienced in every kind of trouble you can imagine. We know something about the peace of God.
Amen.
I wonder how many of you, ain't no doubt in your mind, you're in the right boat. You're on your way to heaven when you die, but you just ain't had no real peace here lately. I wonder if you're doing like those disciples this morning. Ashley, y'all come on and get us a song. I wonder if you're doing like those disciples this morning. You're just toiling and rowing. You're trying to paddle yourself out of that storm. You're trying to bail yourself out of your trouble. How long's it been, Christian, child of God, since you got on your face in an old-fashioned altar and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? God, do you even know where I am?" Hey, He wants to hear from you. You'd be surprised what He'd allow to come in your life just to get your attention. Just to get you to call His name. We'll stand to our feet this